This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Boeing and Airbus face some new competition from China. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Today in Shanghai, the unveiling of the new C919, the first homemade Chinese airliner. It seats 168 people and competes with Boeing's smaller 737 and Airbus of Europe's A320. The manufacturer, the Commercial Aircraft Corporation of China, is state-owned. The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker is following this. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, David.
This airliner is the product of government policy. The Chinese government wanted this to happen.
Yes, they did. The commercial justification you could put here is that China is an enormous aviation market. In a way, it does link in with the wider transition that's going on in the Chinese economy, moving away from basic low-cost manufacturing towards a more sophisticated economy. The service sector has grown in particular, but here we have an example of China moving into high-end manufacturing.
A recognition that there's going to be a lot of air travel within China as well as that economy, if all goes to plan, continues to grow.
There already is an awful lot of air travel within China, and there's going to be an awful lot more. The customers who've made orders for these aircraft, they are predominantly Chinese airlines. I think the Western and other Asian countries' airlines are going to want to know an awful lot more about what they're buying, seeing some kind of performance, particularly, I think, safety records. But, you know, there is no question that that home market is a very big one, and there will be a lot more sales, provided this aircraft does ultimately get off the ground and start to ferry people around this enormous country.
Always good to talk to the BBC's Andrew Walker in London. Thank you.
It's my pleasure, David.
Let's check the numbers. The 100 share index in London is down 0.25%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are mixed. An update now on financial institutions that are too big to fail, so important they know the government is likely to bail them out even if they do something foolish. Late last week, the Federal Reserve approved a proposed rule to prevent taxpayer-funded bank bailouts. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports on what is next for big banks and financial firms.
Under the Fed's proposed rule, six of the nation's biggest banks would have to take out a total of $120 billion in long-term debt. If a bank failed, those long-term investors could be left holding the bag, Fed Chair Janet Yellen.
The proposal is another important step in addressing the too-big-to-fail problem.
The Fed estimates banks will spend up to $1.5 billion a year on the extra debt. Some shareholders of big financial companies are already complaining. David Wright is managing director of Deloitte & Touche's bank regulatory practice. He says some firms are being pressured to avoid the new rules by downsizing, so they're not categorized as too big to fail.
There are many firms out there that are reconsidering what businesses they should be in. They might remove themselves from certain lines of business that they think don't make sense.
The Fed will take comments on the rule before finalizing it. Banks have until February 1st to tell the Fed how they feel. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
We'll be right back. is 1 week left for the government to take public comment on a new rule at the intersection of health care reform and civil rights. The Department of Health and Human Services says this would be the first federal law to prohibit discrimination on the basis of gender in health care, a distinction that, among other things, means hospitals, nursing homes, health insurers, and doctors would have to treat transgender people like anyone else. From our health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports.
For years, transgender adults have faced discrimination so hostile, it's almost laughable. Almost.
A trans woman broke her arm playing softball.
Mark Kiesling heads the National Center for Transgender Equality.
And the insurance company refused to pay for it because if she hadn't been transgender, she wouldn't have been playing women's softball. There's just a million stories like that.
HHS is finalizing specific provisions of the rule, putting the industry on notice. Since the ACA passed, it's now illegal to discriminate based on sex or sexual orientation, just like it's been illegal to deny care to people based on age, religion, or race. Practically, HHS's Jocelyn Samuel says that means insurers can no longer categorically deny care. For example, gender transition services.
If an insurer says, "We will not cover any services related to gender transition," we will treat that as a denial of access to coverage that is prohibited by the ACA.
Imagine this. An insurer covers some services, but gender transition remains expensive and hard to get. University of Michigan law professor Sam Bagenstos.
It gets gray pretty quickly, and I think the real question is, how much is HHS going to feel willing to say in the abstract about these questions?
Bagenstos was an assistant attorney general for civil rights under the Obama administration. While this likely opens up the door to more lawsuits, Mark Kiesling from the National Center for Transgender Equality says, remember, this gives people legal standing for the first time.
When they go to an emergency room and are physically assaulted for using the bathroom, when they go to a doctor and the doctor says, "I don't feel comfortable treating you," they know they have the ability to say, "I'm a human being and you have to treat me."
Kiesling estimates there's some 1 million transgender Americans, some, she says, who've stopped seeking medical care due to bad experiences. Kiesling says they should come back. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
And before we go, sometimes when corporate titans propose to merge, you think, those are odd bedfellows. For instance, Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway is in part a ketchup company grafted onto an insurance company. But listen to this strange pairing today. There is confirmation just now that the credit card company Visa is buying the credit card company Visa Europe for something close to $23 billion in cash and stock. I don't know, but what's the synergy? In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.